Today's daf is daf Chof Aleph, Mesechet Makot, and we are holding on the Tana Rabbana, which is the two dots on Chof Amud Beit. So, HaMisaret Srita Achat, the next case that the Mishnah had, was an interesting halacha that a single Srita, which is a scratch in the skin, that's made for five different Meitim, is Mechayev on each one of those Meitim. Or five sritot, even on one mate, each one of them is a separate chiyuv. What would be the makor of such a halacha? Tana Rabbanan comes along the Braita to analyze the pasuk. It says, "Viseret lenefesh lo titnu bevisarchem." Seret lenefesh. This might mean if you hadn't read that pasuk, yochel afilu sarat al beitosh nafal al sfinatosh tava bayam. Some tragedy takes place. Man loses all of his money. He scratches his face in horror. You might think you're chayav on that. Talmud lomar, dafka lenefesh, eino chayav, ela al hamet bilvad. You'd only be chayav for scratching over death. Uminayin lemisaret chamesh siritot al met achat shehu chayav al kol achat veachat. How do you know that every sirita would be chayav separately? Talmud lomar, viseret. And some learn out from the actual vav. And some learn out from the phraseology over here, because if it would have said lenefesh lo tisretu, so then it would have made sense to say on a nefesh. But once you say viseret, the implication is that the focus is on viseret and not on the nefesh. So each one of those sratim would be mechayev separately. How about the other way around? Rabbi Yossi Omer, minayin lemisaret srita achat achamisha metim. How about the other way around? Where a person does a single srita over the loss of five separate people. Yeah. Shuchayav al kol achat v'achat. Talmud lomar, la nefesh. Chayav al kol nefesh v'nefesh. That's what you're saying. Per nefesh is what you're saying. A seret per nefesh. I thought la nefesh was just there to tell me that the focus over here is on death. Now you're saying it's per nefesh. That's all. You have no right to make that additional diuk. Kasav Rabbi Yossi holds I don't need la nefesh for that. Because let us remember that there is also an iser of lotit godedu. Now the lotit godedu, but pashtas is the same thing. Lotit go to do means not to make any type of wound. So he holds srita v'gedida achati. Both of them are accomplished in the same way. Now we'll see that there are those who hold that gedida uses dafka, a kli, srita is by hand. But whatever the case is, the lotit go to do, according to Rabbi Yossi, is exactly the same. So in other words, if somebody would be misaret b'kli or misaret b'yad, or godeid b'kli, or godeid b'yad, you're talking about the same thing. And therefore, you'd be over always on two isurim. Now, since that's true, over there it says, al hamet b'ferish. So if that's the case, I already know al hamet, because I mentioned that by gedida. So what do I need now, an extra pasuk to tell me lo nefesh? Therefore, it must mean per soul, not on death. That's the point. Uchtiva atam lamet. It says beferush when it comes to gedida. It says over the dead. So when it says lanefesh, it must mean per soul. Amashmuel hamisaret bikli chayav. Now this is the chiddush, because with pashtut srita is biyad. So says Shmuel srita bikli, you would be chayav. So in other words, apparently that's backing what we just learned in Rabbi Yossi. He's following that sheet, as we'll see. So we ask on him from the Rabbanan, who don't hold of Rabbi Yossi. Meitvei, the writer says, Srita v'gedida is achat in the sense of accomplishing the same end. But, elas srita b'yad, u'gedida b'kliu. The way of accomplishing it is different. So if someone is osa chabura ba'atzmo, b'kli, so then he would be chayav mishum gedida. V'zose chabura ba'atzmo, if he does this b'yad, so then he would be over on srita. So how could Shmuel say b'saret b'kli chayav? Because who the Amak Rabbi Yossi? He was following the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that srita v'gedida is achati. Memela, whatever it is that you would do, you would be chayev both lavim, the isra of gedida and the isra of srita, which the Torah writes separately. Tani Tanaka Medir Rabbi Yochanan. Al Meit Bein Biyad Bein Bekli Chaya. Whatever a person does, whether he does a Srita or a Gedida, both of them are Osir Al Hameit. Al Avodat Kochavim, there are certain Avodot Kochavim where the derech is to go ahead and to make these various wounds like the Arabs do, some of the Arab sects do this as an indication of their mourning. So over there, it would depend. So it's actually, there's two separate issues over here. If this is the Derech Avodah Tov, and certainly Derech Avodah Tov is a normal Chiyuv, and then we just need to establish what the Derech Avodah Tov is. But as Rashi points out, there is also a separate Chiyuv where it's not an actual Avodah. Even if it isn't the actual Avodah, if you recall, the Lota of them added various things which are Lo K'Derech Avodah Tov, and which are not Chiyuv Mita, which are nonetheless things that the Torah says not to do to any Avodah Zarah. So that would include a derech of wounding yourselves and letting the blood flow to show your joy in the Lord. That's how it goes. It's all about joy. Anyway, so here it says, Biyad Chayav and Bekli Patur. So either the derech Avodah is Biyad and not Bekli, which is the mashma'ut of the sugya, because we're about to ask from the Nevi'ei Habaal. Asks the Gemara, isn't it just the opposite? Va'ibchaktiv. Does it not say by the Nevi'ei Habaal, it says va'yit go to do. So you do it on Lashon Gedida. Kemishpatam b'charavot b'ramachim. Dafka they use kelim. So apparently the mishpat of Avodah Zarah is dafka b'kli, not b'yad. And you said just the opposite. Ela b'ima b'yad patur b'kli chayav. Actually, we made a mistake. It was the other way around. The chayav ala rosh. What is the rosh? We said twice, you'd be chayav. Markvei Rav Sheshet ben Pirkei Reish. Rav Sheshet pointed to the point where the bone of the skull connects to the bone of the cheek, which is right around the midpoint of the ear. V'ala zakan shtayim mekan v'shtayim mekan v'achat melamata. Rav Sheshet also pointed. Now, this doesn't do us much good because we don't have the attached movie file. So it's, as we said, there's many different approaches to what he was pointing to. But he pointed Bein Pirkei Dikna. So again, the question is exactly what this is referring to. Is it referring to that point, which was the Peah, and down as point one and two on either side? Is it referring to the point behind the ear, where the beard extends backwards towards the skull, which is also the edge of the bone, but it's the edge of the bone where the beard grows, not where it connects to the peah, to the sideburn. And the other question is the other side. Was he pointing to the connection between the growth on the cheek to the growth on the chin? Was he pointing to the top of that area where the beard extends upwards towards the eyes? Again, as the Rush pointed out, you know, they got you coming and going. You might as well just be machmir on the whole thing. Okay. You could see the frustration of they're not being able to hyperlink a little video over here, but you know, he pointed. Ve'ala zakan, okay, machve. Kasovar, not Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Rebbe Eliezer has an interesting thing. He says, if you did all of this, bevat achat, so then you would only be chayev one. Now, it's not clear what that means. The Gemara says, the reasoning of Rebbe Eliezer is kasovar chad lav. What he's saying is, look, it's one lav. I mean, Rabbanan is certainly not arguing the fact that it's one lav. We don't have separate lavim. All they were saying is that in a process where you have different parts, so then you'd be chayav on each one. I mean, undoubtedly, you would need hatra'ah for each one. Otherwise, it won't be betok kedei dibur of the hatra'ah. What exactly does he mean? And the Rishonim speak out various possibilities. One possibility is that Rebbe Eliezer argues on the underlying hanacha that you could be chayav on doing the same lav over and over again. So he argues on the basic assumption that we've applied to Nozir. We're going to apply soon again, where if somebody says, Al tishte, you'd be chayav for every hatra'ah. Because that hatra'ah is mechalik now, the malkias. He says, ma piton, I understand. How can you be chayav for doing the same lav continually? It's all one lav. There's also a possibility that's suggested by the Rishonim that what he's talking about, Rebbe Eliezer, is a very efficient shave, where you have basically five razors all attached to this machine, and you put it up against your face, you can do the whole beard at once, you see. So what he's saying is, you can't be mechayiv separately for each point, because that's really only one lav. So what would be mechalik those points into different peyot? All it says is pa'atzikan, it doesn't say peyot. So memeli, you don't want to be chayiv once. There's other approaches to the issue. question of how broad is Reb Eliezer's application. Is this a din in kolat Torah kula? It may well be. Okay, so kasov achad lav. Continues now the Mishnah to say, Eino chayev ad sheitlenu bita. You're only chayev if you take a razor to the beard. How do we know that? Now, the truth is that we have two separate Isurim, one of which is for Kohanim, and one of which is for Yisrael. Those dinim are very, very different. Legabi Kohanim, it says, Pa'atzikanam lo yigalechu. When it comes to Yisrael, it says, lo tashchit et pa'atzikanecha. So one of them talks about a giluach, does not talk about hashkata. The other one talks about hashkata, does not talk about giluach. We already saw before that we're makish, the posik, of the dinim of the Kehanim to the dinim of Yisrael. If we assume that those dinim are linked, so then we can say like this. Patzikanam lo yigalechu. Certainly it's the der of giluach to use a scissors. So yochol afilo gilcho b'misparayim yechayav. So if somebody now has his beard trimmed, that should be a chiyav, according to this. That's giluach. Talmud lomar lo tashchit. No, no, no. We're talking about taking out the hair in a way that leaves nothing. So then Yilo Tashkid, if that's what you're saying, so then Yochol, Im Likto B'Malaket or Hitni. Again, there's many different approaches to Malaket Rehitni. The simple approach was the Rashi approach. The Rehitni literally means a carpenter's plane. Rashi learns a Malaket is also a type of plane. Others learn that Malaket is a tweezers. But in any event, these things certainly tear out the hair at the roots, or at the skin level. I mean, the Rehitni is going to... It depends what the Rehitni is, but... It's bad shape. Anyway, so you might think, therefore, that if you actually shave like that, you'd be chayev, because you were mashchit. Talmud lomar lo yigalecha. Wait a minute, but that's not how you do giluach. When you walk into a barbershop and the guy's got a carpenter plane at you, you walk out again. So there, that can't be what we're talking about. Therefore, what we need is a combination of the two issues. Okay, so giluach sheyesh bo hashkata. So it means it's a standard. But it also is mashchit. There's only one thing that does that. Ave omer zetar. So then we're talking about a razor. If we're talking about a razor, then it explains why we said dafka achitlanu betar. Whereas Rebbe Eliezer argues on this as well. And he says, afilu lakto b'mlaket v'ritni chayav. How do you get that? I mean, mamonav shav. If he holds it gzera shava, that compares now to the Yisrael on Kohanim. So then you know that it needs to be these two things. We have two criteria. One is that it be giluach, and one is that it be hashkatat. So then if you're using a tweezers, where's the giluach? And if you're telling me logomir, gzereshava, he holds that if gzereshava is not binding, so then if you're talking about kohanim, you should say misparayim nami, the kohanim would be chayiv even on using a scissors on the beard, because over there all he says lo yigalechu. Certainly, the zikanam lo yigalechu should include a very fine haircut with scissors, but he never said that. So he said only malakit for hiti. How to explain that? Answers the Gemara, actually Reb Eliezer is gomer the gzereshava. What he's arguing about is whether malakit for hiti is considered to be an act of giluach. Because sova haninami giluach avde, that these things are also considered to be derech giluach, and therefore they would be included even in the gzereshava. So they're certainly mashrit, and they're considered to be derech giluach as well. Now, that certainly makes it hard to believe that we're talking about a carpenter's lane over here, right? It's very strange. Okay, so the truth is that there are other approaches to what a malakit for hitni are. The thing is that those other approaches they create problems for the way we understand the nature of hashkata. So Nebuke Yosef, as I mentioned to you in the Mishnah, has malakit for hitni as being different type of clippers. So he says the malakit is like a small clipper for single hairs. And a rahitni, as its name implies, is rahit, to run quickly. So it's a very fast way of going over an area. But that would also be a clipper. The difference is tremendously important because the razor runs a blade along the skin, whereas a clipper cuts along a different piece of metal. And therefore, it's never mashchit. It's basically, it does the same pu'ula that the scissor does. It's a scissor action, a clipper. So then it should be the same thing as misparayim. Other than the fact that it's always placed in such a way that it cuts close, like our electric razors, which is part of the question. Is that considered to be a scissor? as the action is. Or since, in fact, the blade runs across the skid is forced through the thin foil between the blade and the... And why wouldn't that be called hashkata as well? It's just a lot of little razors. Yeah, those are the questions. Is it, of course, a play on words, but there's also the razor, which is there are shavers that raise the hair by lifting it out of the... A little bit... Well, they claim to, anyway. To lift the hair outside of the follicle for a tiny bit, cut it, and then it flips back in so that it becomes now cut beneath the skin level. That's a different issue. Is the hashkata in terms of the skin that it needs to be mashrit? I mean, and if you learn that a malakit is a tweezer, the tweezer doesn't touch the skin. It's only mashrit asar, and that should be hashkata as well. As a matter of fact, for many years, people were avoiding those Philips, or Norelco, they call them in the States, I think, shavers, that claimed to be lift and shave. They actually, there were religious organizations that would gladly break off the piece that was pulling out the
double,
and they did the double. So they did that for free as a public service. You send in your blades and they break them for you, so that it only uses the upper blade, not the one that first grabs the hair. Then they did some experiments and they found out there ain't no such animals, absolutely no difference between the lift and between the non-lift. It's all the same thing. And they stopped doing the public service. If you want to be from, don't shave. But what's on the website?
No, the teacher had for the Norelco to take out the soaps and lift.
No. Now they've said forget about it. You don't need to take it out.
You don't have to do that. Because the other one they recommended, I tried to rip my face to shave.
No, that would, that, yes, the Remington.
Yeah, that
one is ridiculous. I bought a few of them for my kids. Everybody threw them out. If anybody's interested, I think we have a bunch of them in a drawer.
Yeah, I got used to it after a while. I didn't say that was the kosher one.
No, it's much worse. Much worse than probably the best one, it turns out, is the Philips.
And, yeah. And cream, the military cream?
No, so that's not derech giluach at all.
That's
not derech giluach. That used to be the solution of choice in the old days when nobody was worried about the way things smelled. It took a few days to get over the smell of the yeshiva dorms on Friday, my God. Anyway, so you can see that this piece of Rebbe Eliezer is a very strange piece, but that's derech giluach. All right, but our president is here and ready to move us along. Hakotev ktovet kaka. And of course, this is actually based on the pasuk itself. So we have the iser first of srita, the seret lenefesh, lo titnu bivsarchem. And it goes right out to say, uktovet kaka, lo titnu bachem. So the Mishnah follows really the pasuk over here. Someone who writes a tattoo. But note that there's two things. There's the kotev, there's the writing part, and then there's the ka'aka part. Tofet ka'aka includes two separate pu'ulot. One of them is putting a coloration on the skin, and the other one is using a needle to force the coloration beneath the skin level so that it stays there permanently. And that is tattooing. So if katav v'lo ka'aka, so if somebody writes with a permanent ink, but he doesn't do the ki'ikua, to be mika'akea, we use also as a sense of uprooting something, pulling it out from the bottom, getting under it and ruining it. That all is a use of the word of forcing something under in a aggressive way, like with a knife, as with a needle. Or if he just now makes marks in the skin with the kikua, but doesn't have any ink, v'lokatav. Eno chayav achiyev tov v'yika'akea. He has to either be mekakea bidyo, it should say, or bichol. So he uses black ink, or he uses the eyeshadow ink, all of which are very permanent stains. Bichol davar shu roshem. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, mishum Rabbi Shimon omer, eno chayav achichtov shem, or achichtov sham et hashem. Now, it's not clear what this means. Is he talking about writing Meshem Hashem? As the pasuk ends, ani Hashem? Is he talking about writing the shame of an Avodah Zarah? The Gemara is going to talk about this in a moment. In other words, you have to write something either that is the shame, so, or it's that which is the opposite of the shame, as we'll see in a moment. What is he saying? Is he saying, since it says in the pasuk Ani Hashem, so you have to write the Hashem of the Ani Hashem Mamash? Is that what you'd say? No, it's just the opposite. Lo, it's Kidatani Bar Kapara. That's the point. Is Raya from Ani Hashem? Is Uchtovet Kaka Lotitnu Bachem Ani Hashem, meaning Ani Hashem Velo Acher? So in other words, clearly the ketovet karka is meant as a way of being mikakeah the shem, in the opposite sense, of uprooting the shem Hashem, and asserting that you belong to someone else, not to HaKadosh Baruch. Okay, so then that is the Ani Hashem. I'm showing that I've got the name of Yoshka Pipik on my skin or whatever. You know, that is an indication of where I really belong.
Rabbi Shimon's tattoo would be okay?
Actually, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, would be aser. Eno chayav achi yichtov. Right. So in other words, Shaila included in the Lav Mamish, is it an Issur Darabonah? Everybody has made that it's aser. It's interesting, the Rif Paskin is like Rabbi Shimon, but we don't Paskin that way. Nobody else Paskin like Rabbi Shimon. Question, because it's connected to Das Harabim over here.
So all tattoos would be
aser? That's for sure, all tattoos are aser. Shailas are all tattoos achiyav malchus. We hold that all tattoos are achiyav malchus, actually. So. That's not an avodah zarah. This is the
Jewish tattoo.
Jewish tattoo. Brit Milah is not good enough.
I don't know if they have that, but
Milah. Oh yeah.
But they have some ways of erasing them today. They didn't have
cords
that changed.
Laser, you know. Doesn't change anything. No, it's not allowed in the class.
Doing of it is
usur,
or the wearing it every day?
No, the doing is usur. Omer Ravach, Omer of Malkia, Omer of Adabarava, Asur lo adam shiten efem mikle al gabe makato, yipeshinirit ki chtovet ka'ka. One of the common ways of curing a open wound was to put ash on it. The ash would cause congealing and would also provide a sterile dressing. Because it would burn it, obviously, first. So then, if you do that, it leaves a permanent mark because it gets under the skin. Lamaiz is only a mark, and there's no kikua, but midrabanan, it's usher to even do that because it looks like a ktovet kaka. So, Omer Rav Nachman ben Ravika, once we're on the topic now of Rav Malkiya, and I know people get very confused between Rav Malkiya and Rav Malkiyo, right? There's a little bit of gender confusion over there, which in fact becomes not a simon. Is it a female, Malkiya, or is it a male, a Malkiyo? And we'll see that that becomes actually a way we can remember who said what. So I just want to say that put together the following shmuot, the din of a shpod, where you have used it now to cook. And the question is whether on Yontif, what its status is, the Gavi Mokza, you can move it away or not. Shvachot, which is the Mishnah that talks about if a woman brings in X number of shvachot, what it is that she doesn't have to do in the house. And we say over there that the halacha Rav Eliezer, who says, I don't care how many shvachot she does, but she can have 100 shvachot. There's certain things that she has to do in the house because that's part of the building of a home and the feminine presence. And it's very dangerous to take that away and give it to the maids, as we know today. And gumot, also the question of whether they shear of sa'arot, we could talk about gumot without sa'arot or with sa'arot when it comes to the simen of galut. So all of that is Rav Malkiyo. The deal about blurit, which is a Jewish barber, and how far away from the place on the head where the blurit is usually left by the of the Avodah Zarah that he's allowed to cut, Ephraim Mikleh, we just had over here, not using now a burnt ash to close a wound, and the din of gvina, certain places where they used to use a oil, which were the non-kosher fat that was put over the top of the gvina, that's all Rav Malkiya. Rav Papa says, I disagree with you. There's a very simple rule. Anything that is a statement of a Mishnah or a Braita, where they're dealing with that, in other words, you want to paskin like Rav Eliezer and a Mishnah, that is always Rav Malkiya. Anything which is a Shema'atita, which has to do with the Amoroyim that we're saying over Itma, that's Rav Malkiyo. And the way to remember what's what is Mishnah is queen. So that's feminine. So Malkiya is queen. So you can always remember Matvita Malkita. Anyway, the only difference between these two approaches of Rav Nachman, who lists it, and Rav Papa, who categorizes it, is Ika Beinayu Shvachot. All that's happening over here is Shvachot is a Mishnah, which we're passing like Rav Eliezer. That means that according to the way Rav Papa is understanding it, that had to have been said by Rav Malkiya, whereas according to the way Rav Nachman was saying it, it just happens to be that it's Rav Malkiyo. And that is wrong according to Rav Papa. So it's not 3 and 3, it's actually 4 and 2, the way Rav Papa understands it. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye was very makbid that it shouldn't, not only where it's not going to, where to be zoyer where it leaves a permanent mark. But even where, while it's healing, so let's say a guy went and he had a blood test, and there was like a little bleeding from the blood test. So you put on a dab of aframiclin. He was marked, but not even to do that, even though obviously something small like that is not going to leave a noticeable mark. But it looks like that's what you're doing. Rav Ashi says it does not look like that's what you're doing. Because kol makom sheyesh sham makah, makato mochicha alav. Understand it. Anybody could see that the guy's got a open wound of some kind. Doesn't matter. I mean, it's clear that he's putting on iodine on his wound. Why would anybody think the guy's interested in being kotev ktovet kaka? That's certainly not where we asser it. We asser it where it's leaving now this permanent mark that's not associated with a wound. That's something else.
Who's high on the one you
have? Not high of you. Not to do it. That's a whole question, whether these, which we started beginning talking about, we talked about in terms of the makif, to be a misayea, is Isurim, whether they're sendafka for the person who does it himself.
You're going in and paying the guy.
What's that?
You're going in and paying the guy.
That's right. That's not a CUI. And our president will now?
Wow,
that was a tough one. Nazir shaya shote yayin kol hayom. Here's a nazir. He's drinking wine all day long. He's only going to be chayav once. But amrulo al tishte al tishte. If they give him on each shtiyah, so at shtiyah it's possible to be mechalek, because you can be mechalek according to the shiur of the revi'it, which is mechayav. So then it could be chayav on each one. We could view it as a separate shtiyah, as long as there's a separate malkut. So chayav al kol achat ve'achat. Hayah mitameh le'meitim kol hayom. If he now goes and is matam, there's a question, the Gemara Nazir, does this mean that it's been meisif tuma dafka? Is it a separate tuma? Okay, that's a question whether it needs to be hosafar, and that is machlokes tanoim. But if he's matam lemeitim kol hayom, eino chayav alachat. But if amrlo al tama, and he's matame once again, then he's chayav kol achat ve'achat. And suppose this Nazir is being migaleach. Chayav migaleach kol hayom. Now, according to Ritva, this would not be true, because it's all chodalav. If it's chodalav, then you can't say that you're doing separate things. Now, here we have an interesting thing. It's a bishlema when it comes to the case of shtiyah. There's a shir of shtiyah. When it comes to the pe'ot, there's a definition of a pe'ah. But somebody who's wearing kilayim, so what exactly would be mechalek, the isser of kilayim, from 1 minute to the next? I mean, would a hatra be sufficient? Says the Mishnah, well, if he was wearing the same kilayim, then he would only be chayiv one. And every time they tell him, al tobash, he's still only chayiv only one. Unless, hu poshet velovesh, if he takes off his clothes and puts them back on, so then it becomes another levish. Only then would he be chayiv al kol achat ve'achat. Now, we'll see that this Mishnah may mean something very differently than it appears to mean. Yesh choresh telemechad. It's possible to go along and to do one row of plowing, and you could be chayav eight separate lavim for that one plow. You could have a shor and a chamor plowing together, and which of course is kilayim. You're not allowed to plow with kilayim. And not only that, they are mugdashim. Because I didn't have mukdashim, the chamor is a petah chamor, the shor is a petah bechor, so they're mukdash, and they are also now doing the covering of seeds, perhaps in a vineyard. So at the time that you're doing the harisha, you're also planting kilayim, and of course it's during shmita. So it's bishmita, and it's yantiv, the boot. Oof, so then you get another one for it being yantiv. And the guy who's doing it is a kohen, who made himself a nazir, and the place where you're doing this is in a field that has grain. So it's bebeit atuma. Says Hananya ben Chachinoy, I mean, you know, look, if you're going to town, you might as well have them wearing kilayim, you know, and chewing chazer at the same time. I can think of a lot of things you could do simultaneously. There's a little bit cheek, tongue in cheek. Amrullah, what are you talking about? Ain't no shame, but that has nothing to do with the harisha. Amalim, and the fact that he's a nazir and a kohen, that does have something to do with the harisha. You stop throwing in things. You started off good. I don't know where we went off around here. Now, obviously, the chachamim hold that because the harisha includes the person who is walking behind, making the animal continue to pull and guiding it, so then that is part of the harisha. My being there is part of the harisha. If being there is an iser for the person who's there because of tuma. So you can't say it's not part of harisha. Obviously, it's a little bit less than saying you're also chewing on a ham sandwich at the same time. It's completely irrelevant. Or you're wearing kelayim to take off your clothes. What does that have to do with the harisha? But that's each one, of course, is a different darga. Amar Reb Baby, Amar Reb Yossi. When you say poshet velovesh, do you mean literally you take off the whole thing and put it back on? Or is it, oh, afilo machnisu motzi beit yad unkli shlo? Is it just pull your hand out of your sleeve, put it back on again? So that you're doing an act of some kind, which now can differentiate one moment of wearing kelayim from another moment of wearing kelayim. Machvi Ravacha Bereda Ravika. So Ravacha Bereda Ravika showed with his hand the yulav afuke, taking it in and out of the sleeve. That's all that's necessary. Ravashi says, you missed the point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not talking about an act. Because, I mean, the other cases aren't necessarily new acts. The only reason the Mishnah needed to here address something that wasn't addressed in the other two cases is because there is nothing to say a shear of kelayim. What's a shear of kelayim? I understand. A shear of giluach is cutting the hair of this peah, let's say. Or two hairs, if you're, that's the shear of giluach. If you're telling me the shear of shtiyah is a revi'it, fine. What in the world is a shear of kelayim? So the Mishnah is coming to address the shear. It's not coming to address the act. What it's saying is that as long as sufficient time has elapsed for you to remove the clothing and re-wear the clothing, then it's a new shear of kelayim. You don't have to actually do anything. Afilo lo shaha. It's not saying you need any act whatsoever. The Mishnah is actually being very consistent with the previous two cases and is coming to address a time and not an act. So as long as it was long enough to be poshet velovesh, then a separate hatra'ah would be just as b'chayev on that as it would on the shtiyah of the nazir. Now, you say, yesh choresh telem echad. Now, this is very interesting because it is not clear how to understand the Choresh Telemechad in terms of Kilayim. Tell me, not Kilayim of Behemah, but Kilayim Bekerem. What is Kilayim Bekerem about Harisha? I mean, I thought that Kilayim Bekerem has to do with planting in the Kerem. But, I mean, if you're plowing, what makes that Kilayim Bekerem? And here we go for a moment into a separate sugya, which we immediately see is Nogea the Mishnah. Om Rav Yanai. Look, we had a chabura, which we discussed this issue at great length, and we came out, nimnu v'gomru, ha-chofe b'kilayim loket. That, in fact, if there are seeds lying on the top of the surface in a vineyard, and you put dirt on top of the seeds, but you have nothing to do with the seed itself, that is an act of planting, and you'd be loket. Amalem Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, I don't get it. You need a fancy chabura for that. You can't read the Mishnah. Isn't that what the Mishnah is saying? How would the Mishnah tell you that you're going to be chayev separately a lav on kilayim for doing harisha, unless it's talking about walking along with your choresh right along the edge of the seeds, that when you plow, the dirt is pulled up over the seeds. So the Mishnah is saying that a chofe the kilayim is loka. So lav Mishnah tenu yizo, yesh choresh telem echad, v'chayava lav mishum shmona lavim, and it lists, choresh b'shor v'chamor v'mukdashim, and it says v'kilayim nekerem. Now, explain to me how a choresh is chayef for kelayim bekerem. Hay choresh to bechayef mishum kelayim. You tell me. Hey chemash kachat lami. Is it not lav the mikse b'hadid azil? Is it not that as he was walking with his plow, he's plowing right along the seeds which then become covered? Amaleis, Rabbi Yanai says to him, I love these guys with 20/20 vision. We give away all the secrets. And they look at you and they say, well, obviously, we always knew that. Yeah, like, heck, you always knew that. If I hadn't removed the broken piece of pottery that closed this to your eyes, mi mashkachat marganita, you think you would have found the pearl under it? It's very simple when somebody takes away the chaspa. Meaning what? Meaning that there's another obvious explanation to the Mishnah. The obvious explanation to the Mishnah is that it's going on limit of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that a mekayim b'kilayim is chayim. Obviously, charish is an act of kiyum. So you're enhancing the field to maintain the kilayim that's in it. Who's to say you're being mechap ezroim? The zroim have been here, are happily growing, and you're not even covering them. You know, we're near them.
They were already covered,
and all you're doing is you're making the ground more moist, more likely to absorb nourishment, and so on. That's also cute. So, Mimela, you're coming back to me now. You say, ooh, good thing we don't have to say it's going only on Liba to Rabbi Akiva. Yes, there is indeed an alternative explanation like Rabbi Yana. Hey, we always knew that. Okay? Omer Rabbi Shlokish, Rabbi Yochanan. You know, you're in luck. I mean, because the bottom line is, Rabbi Yannai agreed with you. You know, he could have thrown you out the door. I mean, he could have told you, what makes you think the Mishnah has anything to do with this? Well, he could have told you that actually the Mishnah is going to leave it to Rabbi Akiva, which is what I would have said. I mean, if it wouldn't be that a great man said, you're on the right track, I certainly would have said, Avamina, Matnitin Mani Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, HaMekayim Bekelayim Lokas. If you're Mekayim, Bekelayim. So this is certainly a Mekayim Bekelayim. The Tanya, to my Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. HaMenachesh. So if you weed, or if you're Mechata Bekelayim, you're Lokas. This sounds like the Rabbona. Rabbi Akiva Omer Af HaMekayim. Lamaisa, the Gemara comes out that the entire bride is going to leave it to Rabbi Akiva. That's the point. So what he's saying is that any of these things that sustain and provide for the kilayim is considered to be a mikayim. So that obviously it can't be that the Reisha was a Rabban and the Rechaylik on Rabbi Akiva. Because if you're pottering a mikayim, there's no din of mechapem and achish by kilayim either. Where would you get such an idea from? Where do we see this Rabbi Akiva? My time in the Rabbi Akiva, the Tanya. It says in the Braita, the pasuk can be parsed in a very strange way. We have a pasuk that says, Satcha lo tizrak kilayim, uveget kilayim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. Okay. The simple way of understanding it is that you have two separate isurim, lo tarbiya kilayim, lo tizrak kilayim. But says Rabbi Akiva, look, I say, if you read it, Satcha lo tizrak kilayim, so you're left only with the act of zriya, enli ela zoreya. How do we know that allowing the sustaining kilayim in your field is considered to be a law? Mekayiminai. Talmud Lomar parsed the pasuk like this. Satcha lo tizra. Stop. Start. What we have is, bemtcha lo tarbiya. Stop. Kilayim satcha lo. Stop. Okay, so kilayim satcha lo means state of kilayim, your field, no. Okay? So it's telling you not to be mekayim. And the fact is that the placing of satcha between two kilayims lends itself to this type of reading. That's the way the pasuk is setting itself up to be parsed. Omale ula l'Reb Nachman. Why don't we, if we're looking for lavim, and you're learning that the Mishnah, see, Reish Lakish makes sense. The Gur Reish Lakish, the Charisha is just plain old Charisha, and it's not covering any Zroim, okay? But you're saying, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yannai was agreeing, that the pasuk, the Mishnah is actually talking about doing an act of Charisha, which is also an act of Zriya. So why isn't that another law? Charisha is a malacha, Zriya is a malacha. So then we have a separate malka, so we get nine, and the Mishnah only says eight. If anything, the very fact that it says only eight is a raya that we're not talking about. Bechad, ha-ha. Bedavka only going out libid Rabbi Akiva. I'd explain that. Omar Lay, oh, this is a bad answer. Says Rav Nachman to him, well, we're not coming to give you an exhaustive list, you know. Ton of Mashiach. We left out some things. I'm like, you got to be kidding. The Mishnah's coming over here discussing whether you're eating a ham sandwich or wearing... You're telling me the Tana is going out of his way to create this mad case in order to come out with his eight lavim, and he left out one. I come off it. No. There's a very profound reason for why we don't list Zoreya, even though we're talking about Mechapa Zoroyim. And that's because, how do we know, when it comes to Shabbat, that you're chayiv on every malacha separately? Because of the fact that it says, Eish, right? Lama yatsa lechalek. Well, sure don't say Eish bayantiv, because you're allowed to write. So the Tavaru, Eish b'chomosh v'techem b'yoma Shabbat does not apply to you. So that means that the whole idea of chiluk melachot does not apply to Yom Tov. Therefore, for all intents and purposes, there's one Isser of chiluk Yom Tov. You can do it in all kinds of different ways, but it's the same Isser. And therefore, you'll no matter how many ways you're going to be over on Yom Tov, you're only going to be chayav once. So Mamela, we can't list it. Others learn that the chiluk melachot that we're talking about comes over here from the chiyuv of la of the korban. V'asa achat meina. Achat from all the lamatet. But that's only benogea Shabbos where it's possible to bring a korban. Whereas there, by yontif, it's only a lav, there's no korban, so you don't have the din of chiluk. That only really applies to the concept of korban. There's no separate chiluk for malchus if it hadn't been that there were korbanos associated with it. Okay, that's a very different approach. But in any event, we're talking about something that is fundamentally, we're not talking about something silly. We left out one. No, that's the act of kiyum. That's the kiyum. Anything that you do,
one is the top,
there's no separate, but it doesn't say a separate love. It's the same love. So, kilayim lo, tizrak kilayim. Yeah, it's the same Azhara. When Ula heard that, he said, oh, Elias, you got some intelligent response. I'm not the hey, that's a shot. Giving me this business of, we don't care. You say eight, say nine. But I can't learn like that. Eight, say, wait, hold on a minute. You're telling me there's no chilik milah, that's a yantav. How can you say that? Well, it's not. We got another Mishnah, which is similar to this in listing various Isurim. So, actually, a brayta shouldn't really say about tonight. Hamavashel gid bechalav. You're cooking the gid on vasha. You're cooking it in milk. And you hold, this is a big machlokas, for the yesh begidim benotein tam, is the gid on vasha considered to be edible. But let's say, assuming it's considered to be edible. So you cook it in milk, say you got meat and milk, you have a gid on vasha. You're doing this on yantav. You're doing it on yantav, it's not edible, so therefore it's shalol lebzorot yantav. Which, according to this, might be no gain of machlokas b'chamay b'tzil, whether you say mitoch shuta l'tzarech, or if there's no tzarech at all, even b'tzil is, but whatever. But let's assume that there's no issue of mitoch. And then you go ahead now, and you eat it. You're going to be chayev five times. You're going to be chayev because of eating a gid anasha, because of mevashel b'yomtev shalal tzarech, because of mebishel basar b'chalav, because you're mevashel the gid b'chalav, because of isra achila of basar b'chalav, and you're also going to be loka for lighting, turning on the oven to cook this on yantav. What? Wait a minute. That havara is as separate as the yantav. So if you're right, v'im ita, that there is no chiluk melachot v'yomtov, how could you list havara and Mevashel, both of which are just avot melachot, and you're being mechayev two times malchus. So v'im ita, if you would be right, so then how can we add havara? You're not mechayev, because you are in mechayev for yantav once, for bishul. You're right, says Rava. That's a mistake. Take out havara, and add that the gidan nasha over here was the gidan nasha of a nevela. And since you hold that yesh begidim benotein tam, so you'll have to also add the yisr nevela. Of course, this gets into the whole question of yisr halal yisr. What is the hosafa? Okay, but it could be that it's yisr kolel, yisr mosif, or the other thing that it's depending on when the gid becomes osir. Is it from that? That's also yinchul. Vatani Rabbi Chiya. Wait a minute, that ain't going to work for you. Rabbi Chiya knew that somebody's going to play games with this, so he categorized it. He says, look, just remember that there's two malchus over here on the eating and three malchus on the preparation. Now, the way you have it, you made it three malchus on the eating by adding the vela, two malchus on the preparation by taking out havara. Sorry, but kvar kadmucha rabbanon. So we know that that's not the meaning, okay? Try that over again. So according to what you added, i'ita, if we're talking about an avela, you've got shalosh al achilato, and that's not the case. Okay, says Rav, we'll do another way, all right? Afik havara. Okay, so take out the yisra havara and say that you're using atzei asherah to cook this gidan asha. This is, you know, like in Slabotka, they had like a lot of figuring out how much you could do lahachis all at once, you know. So these
my
guys are...
The it's
yeah, it's not a new phenomenon, exactly. So you could always use an asherah to cook on yantav, gidan asha, b'cholav. And then your zazhara would be from lo yidbak b'yatcha mu'uma min acherim. Wait a minute, if that's the case, we're talking about Atzi Asher, why won't you also get the Isser? You'll be over on Lotavito Eval Beitecha. So then if you're adding the preparations to the preparations, then you come out with an additional lav that wasn't listed. So that can't be the case either. It's got to be talking about, you use now Atze Hegdesh. So in continuing to burn the Atze Hegdesh, you're over on Lotasun Kein Lashem Lokechem. And therefore, we're still within the parameters that were given to us by Rabbi Chiya, Shtayim al Achilato, and Shalosh on the actual cooking.
So it turns out that we do say
Viseret lenefesh. You're going to feel viseret al beito. Al sviratto shetava beyamta, but lenefesh. And if I have an alamed bilvad. That he's chayav akol achat v'achat. Talmud Lomar, La Nefesh means per soul. Chayavah Kol Nefesh V'Nefesh. What? Ha'afikte le'beto she'nafas v'nato she'tavar b'yam. Kasav Reb Yossi Srito Gedida Akati. Memela, it says, beferish by Gedida, lamate. What do we need on Nefesh? Omer Shmuel Misaret B'Kli would also be chayav. Meitve. Srita v'Gedida Akati, other than the fact that Srita is B'yad and Gedida is B'Kliu. And who the Omer Reb Yossi? Tanitanik Abedi Reb Yochan. Al mate bein biyad bein bekli chayav al avodat kochavim biyad chayav bekli patur. Va'yibcha k'tiv in the pasuk by the Nevi'i Habal. Va'yidgod aduka mishpatav becharavot uvrimachim. Ela'ima biyad patur bekli chayav. V'chayav al arosh b'fnei atzmo makve Rav Sheshet bein Pirkei Reisha. Al zakan shtayim mikan v'achad milamata makve Rav Sheshet bein Pirkei Dikna. Rabbi Eliezer Mer im natlan bevat achat kesover chad lavo eno chayev ad shitanu betar tamutan rabban paatzikanan lo yigal leichu yochol afil gilcho bemisparayim yechayev tamud lomar lo tashkit paatzikanecha ilo tashkit yocholim likto bemalakit vrit yechayev tamud lo yigal leichu haketzad giluach sheyesh bo hachshkata havei omer zetar. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afilo Likto Bimlaket Vrit Nichayav Manasha. I Gomer Gzereshav Leboita. Vilo Gomer Gzereshav Misparayim Namilo. Liolam Gomer Gzereshav Kasava Haninami Giluach Avdei. Hakotev Ktovet Kaaka. Katav Velo Kiakea. Kiakea Velo Katav. Eno Chayav Achiktov Yekaakea. Bidyo Ubikol. Bikol Davar Shuroshim. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Eno Chayav Ad Shiftov Sham Et Hashem, Sham Uchtov Et Kaakal Lotinu Bechem Ani Hashem. Omer Ravach, Bereda Ravel Ravashi, you mean Ad Shiftov Ani Hashem? Mamash? Omer Lo, on the contrary, Ketodi Bar Kapora, Eno Chayav Ad Shiftov Shem Avodat Kochavim, Sham Uchtov Et Kaakal Lotinu Bechem Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem Velo Acher. Omre Malkia, Omre Varabarava, Asurlo la Adam Shiten Ephraim Mikla, Gabi Makato, Mibne Shiten Reit, Ktovet Kaka, Omre Nagre Ravika, Spoch, Vachot, Vigumot, as Ramalkio, Blurit Ephraim Miklo, Gvina, as Rev Malkia, Rev Papa Omar, any Matnitru Matnita is Rev Malkia, Shmaitet as Ramalkio. The way to remember that is Matnita Malkita, and therefore the bottom line is Madinayu, Ike Benayu Shvachot, which is a Mishnah, therefore according to Rav Papa is Rav Malkiya. Rabibu Barabaya copied Afila Rabibu de Kusilta, not to use iodine. Rav Asher Makoma Kom Shesha Maka, Makato Mochiachala. Nazir Shoshote Yain Kolayomen Chayav Alachat. Amrulo Altishte Altishte, Vu Shote, Chayav Kolachat Vichat. Hayam etamele metim kol hayom. Eno chayev alachat. Amru lo, al tatamei, umetamei, chayev kol achat v'achat. Hayim megaleach kol hayom. Eno chayev alachat. Amru lo, al tegaleach, umegaleach, chayev kol achat v'achat. Haya lavush bekelayim kol hayom. Eno chayev alachat. Amru lo, al tebash, v'poshet v'lovesh, chayev kol achat v'achat. Yesh choresh telem achat v'chayev alav mishum shmon alavim. Hachoresh b'shor v'chamor. Vehim Mugdashim, and Kilayim Bekeren, and it's Shvias, and it's Yontev, and he's a Kohen, and he's a Nazir, the Beit HaTumah. Chananya ben Chachri, no Yomer, why can't he be wearing Kilayim? Amr lo, Eino Hashem, Amalam, neither is the Nazir. Amr Bibi, Amr Biosi, Poshet Velovesh, is that what you mean? Is Velovesh Mamash? Or is it just, I feel Machas of Motsi Beit Yadun Kishalot. Mach, Revaka, Breda, Vika, you live Afuke. Rav Ashi Amar, no. Doesn't need to do anything. Afil lo sha'ala k'day lefshot v'lo l'bosh, chayav. Yesh choresh telem echad. Om Rav Yana b'chabura nimnu v'gamru, hachofe b'kielayim loke. Om lo Rav Yochanan. What's the big deal about that? Lav mishnatenu izo. Yesh choresh telem echad v'chayalav ha'mishum shmona lavi. Choresh b'shor v'chamor, v'im b'dashim b'kielayim b'kerem. What does Charish have to b'kielayim b'kerem? So, is it not clear that it's talking about the mitzvah of Adi Yazil? Oh, Malay, it's very good to have 20/20 hindsight. He loved the loyalaka kaspa nimashkat marganita tuta. Omalir Shlokish Rabbi Yochanan, I wouldn't even agreed with you. He loved the kilsacha gavarama. I would have said that the matanita money Rabbi Akiva, Yavam Kaimbe Bikilayim Loke. Where is this Rabbi Akiva? The Tanya Menacheshva Mechape Bikilayim Loke, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Afa Mekayim. My time in the Rebbe Akiva, the Tanya, Satcha lo tizrak kilayim, en liyel zorea, mekayim minayim, Talmud lomar, kilayim satcha lo. Omer ayula lo Reb Nachman, what happened to zorea? It's also an act of zriya b'yomta. Omer lo, ton of a shir. You gotta be kidding. Ton of katani shmonim, ton of a shir. Omer Rav, I'll tell you the real reason. Reason is, yesh chiluk melachot b'shabbat, there's no chiluk melachot b'yomta. Omalay, now we're talking, buddy. Honest, eh? Eithi Abaya, ve'in chiluk melachot b'yom tov, ha'tan ravashu gir anosha b'chalav, b'yom tov, v'ochlo, lo kechamesh, lo kemishum ochlo gir anosha, lo kemishum ravashu b'yom tov, shalom letzorek, lo kemishum ravashu gir b'chalav, lo kemishum ochlo basa b'chalav, v'lo kemishum havara, v'imita, how do you get havara? You shouldn't be chayiv. You already be chayiv, and you shouldn't be sure. You're right. Afik Avara says, Rav Avayel Gid Anosh on the veil. No, no. Atari Revichia, lo kishtayim al chilato, v'shalosh al bishulo. The way you've got it, it's shalosh al chilato because of the nevela. Okay, so check that. Afik Avara Avayel Atzei Asherah, in which case Azarat Temiacha, v'lo yidbak biyatcham u'umim manacherim. It also doesn't work because now you're including Lilkinami Mishum Lotavitoi Val Betecha. Alokhmay Skinner going to Bishlo Beatze Hegdesh. Where's the Azora? Asharayem Tisrafun Be'esh. Lotasun Kain. La Shem Elokechem. Obviously, it has to be talking about where there's no problem of Me'ila. For some reason, we're excluding Me'ila, as Tosis points out.